This week, we're talking about a ninja-powered Kawasaki side-by-side and Tesla's strange, stupid-ass diner. Plus, why you shouldn't use a vice grip as a steering wheel, as if you didn't already know that. But first, the Corvette sets two records at the ring. Welcome to the Big Three. Welcome back to the Big Three. I am Joe Weber, and joined with me today is Stephanie Gutierrez. And Bides Bardo. You guys can't have the same sound.
She copied me. I told her before, I was like, hey, just so you know, when Joe throws to me, I'm going to go, wah, 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 wah.
And I wanted
and
to steal his
like,
thunder.
Don't steal it. And then she did it.
I wanted to steal his thunder.
Well, moving forward, let's try to think of unique Sonic icons.
I did.
But you weren't first up.
Welcome back to the Big Three. I haven't been here in a couple weeks. I've been on vacation.
Welcome back.
First time since March of 2024. As you do with babies, you know, can't really go on vacation.
You mentioned you guys got away. Is this the first time you've been like on a date or whatever without a kid?
No.
You've had a couple sisters.
No, we have aunties to do that. So
nice.
Luckily,
that's nice.
Yeah, I did see some crazy cars up in Oregon. And I think I saw maybe the stupidest Jeep I've ever seen.
What was it?
I hope you took pictures.
No, I didn't because I was like, it's too stupid.
Because it would have broken the lens.
Yeah. It's too ugly. No, okay. I'll spare you all the details, but I think the dumbest thing was it had like a flip down windshield, which I've never seen on a Jeep before. Normally it's just like you could pop it off or whatever. This had a flip down windshield that didn't have any kind of securing on it.
Oh, really? Yeah. So like I've seen the flip down windshield before.
Yeah. But if you go over like 40, it's just going to flip up and like smash your windshield, right?
I don't know. I've never gone over 40 in a Jeep with a flip down windshield.
It also had like long travel suspension that was like pristine. Like this thing never left the mall parking lot. And I was like, God.
Yeah.
I hate this. You just did a Jeep trip, right?
What year was
I
it? A late model?
No, it was brand new.
It was brand new.
Okay. Yeah, it was brand new.
Weird.
Steph just did a Jeep trip with Zach Deal up at Rubicon?
Yes, sir.
How did that go?
It was quite interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if we should spoil anything.
I don't know
either.
The
video hasn't come out yet.
But I will say this. A bear followed us for two of our campgrounds.
What?
Maybe it followed us, or maybe it was just different bears, but
that could be racist against bears, or it could have been the same bear.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, dude.
If it's the same bear, that is a movie. That I thought that would only happen in a movie.
Yeah.
Well, they'd hunt.
I mean, I don't think he was necessarily hunting, but I think he kind of like, maybe he was just trekking in the same direction as us because he was like hitting up the camps, you know?
Or maybe he'd seen some of your videos online.
He's just like, too shy to ask for a signature?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't even think. I think if anything, he would have definitely heard and seen Deal first. He'd be like, oh my God, I love off-roading, clearly.
Yeah. But your takeaway from the trip was that do you like Jeeps better or do you not like Jeeps at all?
You know, okay, my takeaway from this trip is I was under the impression that off-roading was a very tight community, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of help involved.
Okay.
Not tight like that, but like tight as in like, if you're on the trail and you see another dude that's broken down, you can help him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do.
That didn't happen? You were in a situation.
There were some really dickhead Jeep dudes.
Oh, no. Okay.
And they're being low-key very rude and like, y'all don't belong here. And I was like, ah. Excuse me.
I'm surprised by that. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But specifically, they were in like Jeeps.
Jeep Wranglers. Not even nice Jeep Wranglers.
Oh,
either.
Damn. Well, Rubicon, there's a Jeep trim level named after this trail that they were on. So maybe they felt entitled to the trail. Like,
I'm going to tell you right now, those were not Rubicons.
Yeah.
Base models.
You got them.
Got them. Bart, have you been doing anything car related? I know your saga with the Subaru has ended.
No, I have to get it. No, I got to get the, it's the passenger side wheel bearing. So I pulled the hub and I got one from, O'Reilly's, you know, you can use the gun and the backing and drive out.
Yeah.
The wheel bearing and stuff. That fucking sucked.
Did you actually, like, did it work?
Yeah, I mean, it did, but it not as seen in the video. You know what I mean? I was just kind of like, this isn't. So anyways, once I got it out, I just went to my mechanic to have it pressed in.
Yeah.
The new one. And then when he pressed it in, there was a small like burr on the side of the hub. Ooh. That then I think notched the new bearing.
Oh no.
And so then he went to spin it. He's like, great. And he spin it and it kind of goes. And I was like, fuck. So I had to get a new. Anyways, so today I'm going to take that one, have them press it out and press a new one in, and then I'll be able to put it back on, and Granny Green's going to be on the road.
Nice. There's a sense of peace that you get from just being like, I'm just going to pay for someone to do this.
Yeah. And it's you know, because it's the labor part is what you're paying for. And it's like, well, I did all that. Just, can you please just press this in for me?
Yeah. Great. The tension before it pops out is so scary.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, oh God. Like when we were working on the Z and you and Tristan had to just like hit it with the blowtorch.
Separating the ball joints.
Yeah. We went through multiple tools, trying to like bending tools and stuff.
The bearings were so shot.
Yeah.
On one end when I was taking it out that I couldn't use the bearing to push the housing through with the gun. So I was just beside myself with rage.
Oh God.
And then I used the better bearing and it was able to pound it anyways.
I don't think I've told you this, but I was working on the Z and I just bought like a Canon cold air intake.
Nice, nice.
And I was putting it on and I noticed the MAF sensor wasn't even connected to the air intake.
Lit.
And I was like, oh, so we just been like driving it around, sucking in dirty air, like unregulated. Installed it pretty easy. And I feel like it doubled the horsepower.
I think it was probably able to now get your air fuel mixture just right, because it's like actually accounting for the air intake, you know, that's, instead of just out in the ambient.
Exactly. And so I want to take it back to the track and like, I know we can't set up the same course, but I want to like
wail on it.
Yeah.
We can go to Compton, buddy. You let us know.
Just hit like a pothole and wreck the whole shit.
Sometimes that's life.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
The Corvette has officially dethroned the Mustang GTD as the fastest American production car at the Nürburgring twice.
Oh,
dun, dun, dun.
Last week, Chevy announced that their Corvette ZR1X and ZR1 set new lap records at the Green Hell. This makes them the fastest and second fastest American cars, respectively, to lap the legendary circuit. Chevy used in-house drivers to set the records. I was talking to the Straight Pipes on Instagram. They were like, Jacob just bought this yellow, I think, C6 Corvette. And he was like, we're talking to the team. And it was like an engineer that worked on the car that set the lap record, which I think is so cool. A lot of these lap records, they get a professional driver to come in, usually like an ex, IndyCar F1 racer, DTM racers come in a lot of times because they know the Nürburgring really well. This time it was just an in-house Chevy dude.
Yeah.
Knew the car really well from engineering it and went out there and destroyed it. The 1,064 horsepower ZR1 set a time of 6 minutes, 50 seconds, 0.763. And the 1,250 horsepower ZR1X set a time of 6 minutes, 49 seconds, 0.275, which is nuts. Both those times are crazy.
Yeah.
Anything under seven.
Quite fast cars. Yeah.
For context, the 911 GT3 RS and Lamborghini Aventador are about a tenth to two-tenths slower than the ZR1X. And those are, especially the 911 GT3 RS is purpose-built at the Nürburgring to destroy records there. Just goes to show you that, like, the C8 is an amazing car, especially with this, like, hybrid system they worked out from the E-Ray with the gas engine. Very exciting.
Yeah.
You guys got your orders in for ZR1Xs now?
I think what Chevy does with the Corvette is absolutely amazing. and it deserves all the kudos in the world.
I smell a big butt coming.
It's a Corvette. That's the butt. You know what I mean? Like, and it's still has, it's going to have that stigma. But this is the closest. If this can't undo it, I don't know what can.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Like, this is the point in the Pixar Corvette movie where the jorts like grow into chinos.
Oh my God.
You're like, oh, it's been cool all along.
Yeah.
I love this car. I think it's awesome.
The video too is of the record is pretty sick.
Yeah.
Like the car, it's a good looking car and it's obviously a monster.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a huge accolade in my opinion for Chevy. I mean, that's what they say. These are the two, the second fastest American made to at the Nürburgring, right?
The two fastest.
These are the two.
One and two.
Wow. And
American production cars at Nürburgring. And then the GTD before that, which was less than a year ago.
Yeah.
And Jim Farley was in the comments of the Instagram post on Chevy being like, all right, we're going to come back. Something to that effect. So I think Mustang GTD goes for around $300,000. Mm-hmm. And the ZR1X, I think, is more than $100,000 less than that. Still, a $200,000 Corvette, though, is crazy.
But it's always been Corvettes. I mean, the fact that, you know, they were beating Lamborghinis even at $100,000.
Yep.
You know, it's nuts. But I wonder if that doesn't hurt. You know, there it's still a Corvette. Oh, it's just $100,000.
Well, you're the guy that's perpetuating that.
It's not just me. It's not just me.
Who else? Name them.
Yeah. Carl. Denise.
Denise.
Yeah, she's not a fan.
What's Denise gotta say?
I was like, Denise, what do you think? She was like, still a Corvette. And Carl was like, yeah. And I was like, I love these dinners, guys.
Uh-huh. Like, so Carl, you always just go with what Denise says.
I do kind of feel that a little bit, you know? I get what you're saying. Yeah.
I wish I would have saved this TikTok from a while ago. There's like a young dude that went to a Corvette meet in Marina Del Rey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, put up alongside these like C3s and like Stingrays and, you know, that dark green C4, I can't remember, it's like the 50th anniversary edition. It's almost unfair. He was like, dude, bro, this is like, he's a Gen Z dude.
Oh, cool.
So he was saying, bro, a lot.
I like how you looked at me and you're like,
yeah. Just like, yeah. He was like, bro, this is like the spawn point for all C8s on the West Coast. And I think like it might, like, older people, like boomers, are the only ones that can afford them right now. Maybe like wealthy Gen Xers.
Yes.
But it is almost unfair to call it a Corvette. You know, it's so different.
This new Corvette.
Yes, the
C8. Yeah.
In particular, they don't make enough that you can still, like, originally when it came out, you could get it for $60,000. That was like the selling point. That's probably not realistic anymore. Mm-hmm. That was all the way back in 2019. But I think, if you really wanted to attract like younger buyers, maybe call it something else. But younger buyers are just now being able to afford C4s and C5s. And they're, you know, people are taking them to the track and doing takeovers with them. And I see a lot of C4s around this neighborhood, at least. But I feel like,
and C4s suck.
You think C4s suck?
Yeah, electrical problems.
Yeah.
Up the butt. But I get exactly what you're saying, but I also can't help but think that with the new design of the Corvette, I don't think they, like, when I look at that car, I think, oh, this brand is very clearly trying to turn this into a supercar, or as close as they can, a starter supercar.
And the pricing is creeping up on that territory anyways. It's a far cry from what it started off as. Mm-hmm. But and you know, Camaro's not around anymore.
Right.
I wonder what's gonna fill that gap eventually.
Probably the Camaro.
You think Camaro's gonna come back again?
Yeah, I think that's what's gonna happen, is you're gonna use the Corvette as your halo car, as they always have. And then they'll I don't want to, what would you say?
Revision? Or, remaster? You
know, they're going to re-debut. What's a good...
I'm redesign.
To find the word. Yeah, they'll redesign, re-release the Camaro using the accolades of the Corvette as, you know, you can have the same stuff that's in the Corvette, which has kind of always been Camaro's deal.
Well, it'll definitely have like a hybrid in it, whatever the new generation is or whenever it's going to come out. But yeah, we did a pass gas on Camaro a little bit ago. And they always take it away for a little bit, bring it back, take away the Z28 for a little bit, bring it back. Just rely on everyone's short-term memory.
They got to leave you wanting a little more, you know?
Yeah. So I wonder when that'll come out or what's going to fill its place.
It's just my guess.
Yeah. I think it's a good guess.
Thanks, man. It means a lot.
I'm struggling to come up with talking points because I'm not really a Chevy guy. I do love the C8, but I'm not like well-versed in how they handle business and stuff, you know.
How they handle business, the car? How's the car handling the business?
It stands on it.
It's, yep. Mm-hmm.
Right?
You get it. You get it.
Going back to the C8's record, they're now also the 5th and 7th fastest production cars at the ring overall.
I mean, that is pretty nuts. That's good for them.
Good
that's
for them.
So dope.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, they must be celebrating as a company right now because those are high numbers up there.
Yeah.
You're going up against actual like exotics and stuff, you know?
And we know exotics stand on business. Right? I'm sorry, guys.
That's so funny.
The one that I drove, well, I drove a couple. I drove the Stingray, which is not quite the base model, but I think it's around 500 horsepower. Then I drove the E-Ray, and that thing was incredible. And that, you know, the haters didn't even really get any traction with that because, you know, they're
nice because it spun the tires.
Yeah. Oh, a front wheel drive hybrid system. It's not a Corvette anymore. But yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And so I think it shut a lot of people up right away. They're like, oh yeah, this could be the future. And then now we're seeing the ZR1X, which is the all wheel drive trim of the ZR1 with extra horsepower.
I didn't know. So it's all wheel drive.
That's pretty dope.
And it does. Yeah. They probably listened to the critics, and the ZR1X does have an E-diff, which probably is the factor
tipping point. Yeah. Tip the scales in its favor.
Cause now it has the power to do the straight line speed, but also all wheel drive with the E-diff hucks it around the corners way faster. So this is like an American car built for the Nürburgring and the twisties. So,
which is cool.
Yeah.
I think that's so sick. Yeah. I've got my order in. What color are you guys ordering?
Yellow.
Nice.
So
mine's yellow too.
Yeah. So I can double as a cabbie and make a little extra green.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll get a lot of fares.
Just one passenger
pays for the whole car.
Yeah. No, I mean that's all I can hold.
Oh. I think it's uncomfortable, Loki. But I mean, hey, it's a very nice vehicle for what it is.
Yeah. They're gonna have to sell some like jort guards for the buckets and stuff. Kawasaki has decided side-by-sides aren't dangerous enough and have stuffed the Ninja's 250 horsepower supercharged four-cylinder into the new Terex H2.
That is stupid.
It's stupid,
that's
right?
That's unreal.
Yeah.
In the best possible ways.
I bet this thing's going to rip and it's going to be so fun.
Yeah. Oh, God.
250. And what's it weigh? Like,
probably 1,300 pounds at most.
The heaviest thing's the engine.
Yeah. The amount of people that are going to buy these and then flip them right away is going to be crazy.
Yeah. Oof. Look at how top heavy it looks. There's going to be a lot of maimings with this. I'm calling it right now.
Just keep your arms in. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to go sideways, just keep your arms in.
It would be so fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Just on the line between.
This is something, now that I have a kid, I'm like, I don't ever need to get in this thing. Whereas in the past, I'd be like, oh,
let me rip it.
When's the next presser coming? I don't trust myself with this thing. The engine can rev to 9,500 RPM, which is
goodness gracious.
That's way too much for the average person.
Yeah. According to The Drive, Kawasaki's in-house developed supercharger turns at 13.6 times the engine speed, or nearly 130,000 RPM when the engine is at its red line.
Unreal.
Imagine if that thing starts to splinter and fall apart, and then you're just like shrapnel at 130,000 RPM.
In the desert.
Yeah.
And no one could find you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you flip it over. Chad lost his arm because he didn't keep it in. You know, someone named Chad is losing an arm in this thing. Like,
probably.
Within the first 2 weeks. I don't have a lot of experience with side-by-sides. Have you done a decent amount?
Oh, absolutely.
Anything you'd willing to legally put on the record?
I've been in very questionable situations with these around and stuff. And
did you ever flip over?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like, especially with like the supercharger, like turboed ones, and being a young, dumbass child, you're gonna go crazy. And that's why you keep your arms in, you wear a helmet, you wear a little gogglers, you should be gogglers? Fine. Yeah. Yeah.
You take out
Would you take this out?
Yes, but that's because I have learned a lot from dumb decisions.
You know what to now, not to do.
Yeah, and to now be like, I don't need to test out how fast it's gonna go, you know?
I mean, I don't know if I could stop myself from just being like, well,
couldn't hurt.
I'm gonna see.
Yeah.
Might as well see.
It's a dune, it's soft.
Right? You know, yeah, and you know that. You know the engine's there. So, I mean, what's the point of having this if I'm not gonna lose an arm?
Why would I use 200 horsepower when I can use all of them? Yeah.
It's low-key kind of scary, though, once you're actually there or once you've at least seen an auntie or two get flung.
Yeah.
It's quite nuts. So, but to your point, I do think the more you're, like, driving it, the more you kind of inch to getting a little bit more ballsy. You're like, well, I could handle it a little bit better now.
Look for some videos and stories on this in the near future.
The long travel suspension looks pretty burly. So I think it'd be really fun to just like find a nice soft dune jump and just huck it a couple times. All you need is a couple times, right?
They have an all-wheel drive and a two-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Which one are you getting?
All-wheel drive.
All-wheel drive.
It'd be fun to try to make the two-wheel drive do a wheelie. If you're like, all right, on three, like push your seat back or whatever. Oh, it has a CVT. Which is apparently common with side-by-sides. It would be harder to do a wheelie with a CVT, I will say that. You know what's even crazier than a 250-horsepower supercharged engine? This is that it came out of a motorcycle.
Right, that it's a motorcycle engine?
Yeah.
That is quite nuts.
250-horsepower on a motorcycle?
Yeah.
What are you even doing, Chad?
Chad, you should actually take it out of the side-by-side. Put it in the motorcycle.
Did you do a reverse swap?
Yes.
Like, that would be a scary engine in, like, a EG Civic.
Remember when Dodge made a 12-cylinder motorcycle?
Yeah, the Tomahawk.
The Tomahawk, yeah.
I think it was the 10-cylinder from the Viper.
Okay.
But even then, you know, that's, like...
That was very silly.
If you lose your balance at a stoplight, like, goodbye leg.
Oh, that's funny.
Let us know where you would drive this terrifying Kawasaki side-by-side in the comments. I'm probably taking it to Pismo Beach.
In the Santa Ana Ravine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Was that some gang sign?
No.
What was that?
That's some Gen Z shit.
This?
Yeah. Yeah,
Like just double devils?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's like really radical.
You know what I don't understand about Gen Zs? Why did you have to redesign the heart? With your fingers.
I don't... Which one are you talking about? Are you talking about this one?
Yeah. I don't. Why like do you have one. To do that?
That's such an... listen, popular opinion or unpopular opinion. That's such an ugly ass heart.
Yeah.
This one's way better. That's like a cute heart.
Yeah.
Right.
That's regular. I also don't know... I don't like when like you ask a Gen Z, like, how do you talk on the phone? And they do one of these. I don't like that. I go like this. If you ask me, like, how do you signal the phone? I'm doing one of these.
Yeah.
This. If you're doing this, I'm thinking either you're sleeping or you're, like, primping your hair.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Now back to the show.
Last week, an Oklahoma City man lost control of his Chevy pickup and ended up on a highway divider.
Oh my God.
When first responders arrived on the scene, they discovered the truck had a pair of vice grips around the steering column instead of a steering wheel. Well, I think we found our problem.
Well, I don't think this is that uncommon.
No, I think people, you know? I mean, I've seen a lot of TikToks of people using different things for steering wheels. Some guy in Canada used a bag of milk as a steering wheel. That was a good one.
I liked,
because milk comes in bags up in there, in there, Canada is what I'm talking about. Not boxes as they have here.
I believe you.
We've seen someone do like a ramen packet or
I like the banana.
The banana. Mm-hmm. All very bad ideas. We just got to get that on the record.
Yeah.
Use a steering wheel for a steering wheel.
I wish this guy had a... Of course, if you're driving with a vice grip, you're not going to have a
that part of your brain
cam,
that works.
You know?
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen... Oh, shit! Yeah. Losing control with a... Ah! Yeah, just... If he's alive, it's pretty funny.
He's alive. He just ended up in the divider. Oh, it looks like he's doing a 50-50 grind on the divider, as you would.
This is crazy. I mean, if you're already going to be irresponsible, why not just go all the way and do two vice grips on each side?
That's probably pretty cool.
Why don't they make handlebars for cars?
Yeah.
I just thought that.
Why doesn't someone do a video where instead of like a bag of milk, they use like bike handlebars?
Yeah, no one even cares about bags of milk anymore.
No.
Put handlebars. Bart got mad at me when I brought it up.
I did not. I don't know why you're looking at me. I was just waiting for you to finish your thought. Today, for some reason, like when I look at you, you just like stop. I'm really engaged.
Yeah.
Listening to what you say, and then you're just like, what?
Because when you I feel like I know the like Bart's about to talk face, and I guess I'm misunderstanding it today.
Okay. Does it look like I'm about to talk? I got nothing to say today, Joe.
I will. I used to work with this dude. He had a wiffle ball bat in his car, and he was goofing around in standstill traffic, and he was able to weave this wiffle ball bat through the holes of his steering wheel.
What a horrible idea.
On the highway, you can do that for a while, but then he had to like make a sharp left turn.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to turn
and it hit his leg
and there was oncoming traffic and he was like, oh shit, and he couldn't turn it. And he just like broke it loose and it broke both of the stalks on the side of his. Yeah, so he couldn't put his turn signal on and whatever the windshield wiper was like stuck on for a while. But I just always think of how dumb he must have felt in that situation.
Yeah. That's pretty fun. It could happen to anybody.
Yeah. Anyone who plays wiffle ball, for sure.
Some silly ass shit.
Yeah. I've had a couple panic moments in my car. Maybe not related to the steering wheel, but been just some dumb shit. Where like I was on the highway and my friend was tossing a ball. And he threw it, and it bounced off of something, and it
landed under the pedal.
It landed under the pedal, but then he was like, "Oh shit!" And he like lunged over, and somehow got my car in neutral. Once I finally got the ball out from underneath the gas pedal, but then when I was revving it, I was like, "Why is it not in gear? What the hell?" So I almost crashed because of that dumbass.
That's pretty funny.
What about you, boy?
I had a friend who had hand sanitizer in the center console, and he smokes. And so I sprayed the hand sanitizer, or he used the hand sanitizer, and then I lit his hands on fire.
Oh, God.
It doesn't burn, and you just put it out. But
wait, if it doesn't burn, how did you put it out?
No, like it doesn't hurt.
Oh, it doesn't hurt.
You know
what
I mean? There's like a layer between, and then you could, then you just put it out.
Yeah.
And you just rub it out.
Did he know you were going to do that? No. Or was it like a.
No. That would freak me out. I'd be like, you're supposed to be
like, we weren't like moving. It was like in at like a Dunkin' Donuts drive through thing. Yeah. But I was just, it was one of those, the intrusive thoughts one.
Yeah.
Because he just like, and I was like, huh.
That's so crazy. I'd be so terrified. I'd be like, you're supposed to be my dog and you just lit me on fire.
But then I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
And I blew it out. So that's, it was all nice. Good. No, it just, I don't know. You guys have never like,
I kinda
lit
want
hand
to
sanitizer and then you've never done
I'm
it.
I'm not going to die
Edgar's
like that.
Edgar's done it. Yeah.
I never
just stare into the blue flame and I watch the blisters form.
I've never done it because, I never knew if it was hand sanitizer or lighter fluid, the one that didn't burn you. Oh. I think lighter fluid is the one that keeps burning and it hurts you, right?
I haven't tried it, but I believe you're right. Because as the alcohol is evaporating, it almost has a barrier.
That makes sense.
Only the outside of it burns. So if you can put it out,
yeah,
you'll be right. Don't light.
Don't try.
Do this.
We're not,
I'm so sorry for bringing it up.
Don't sue us.
It's not a good thing. Do not do it. It will actually burn your hands. The whole story was a lie.
Yeah. I'm wearing Crocs today because I burned my foot. I was barbecuing with no shoes on and I got the mesquite raw and kind of like
those
rustic
crackle
ones.
Yeah.
It crackles and it pops and it shot out the bottom of my grill and I stepped on it and I thought it was a thorn. So I was like, I don't need to get that out right now. And then it started burning real bad. And then so it's the only shoe that doesn't hurt my foot right now. Speaking of burgers, Tesla has opened up a new diner in Los Angeles, complete with supercharging stations and a drive-in movie theater screen. And it's kind of weird. I mean, it's weird that Tesla, a car company, has, you know, a restaurant.
Don't they have their little robots working there?
Well, it's funny you mention that, Steph. The diner leans heavily into a futurism theme. The building itself is circular and made from steel. Inside, Tesla robots serve popcorn because they f***ing suck and they can't do anything else.
Yeah.
And outside, the giant movie screen plays sci-fi shows and movies like Star Trek. This is kind of lame to me. I think it's kind of a dumb idea.
Have you heard of the slur for robots and AI now?
Clankers?
Clankers.
I love it.
I don't want no goddamn clankers serving me my popcorn.
Just give them more fuel to, you know, like start a robot uprising and be mad at us and torture us. But back to the diner. I think this thing is so lame. Like, yeah, it looks cool.
It is, I think, it's in a space in Los Angeles where nothing has been built in a long time.
What part of it? Like West LA?
It's in WeHo.
Yeah.
Anyways, where it is, like they built something new. It's not ugly. It's not pretty, but it's a new thing. I don't know.
I don't like it. I feel like it gives like.
What I heard or read is that the food is fine. It's not warm enough. Like, but if it were hot, it would have been good.
I feel like
everything's above average. And in LA, if you're not making a really good burger.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
The market is saturated with smash burgers right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can find really good ones any part of the city. I'm kind of disappointed in Eater LA. I love Eater's Instagram account. Mm-hmm. I usually trust their opinion. But man, all these like food review Instagram accounts were just paid off by Tesla to go review bacon. Like,
really?
You can get a side of bacon and they're like, yeah, it's, you know, it's smoky notes and meaty and savory. And it's like, it's f***ing bacon. Like, what are you talking about?
In Chicago, there's a bar called Kincaid's. Hope it still exists. It's been a minute since I've been there. But they had a pint of bacon. So they put a bunch of bacon in a pint glass. And it was like $5.
Oh, that's great.
It's just like that makes
people thirstier and then they drink.
Yeah.
That's really dope.
It's just like an unremarkable restaurant that looks kind of cool and just has Tesla branding all over it. And
if
I think
you have a Tesla, you can charge there. So there's that.
Yeah. Well, they should make it for free or something. Like you order a burger and you get to charge for free.
Mm-hmm.
the fact that they play like Star Trek on the outside is super lame, and it just kind of feeds into this like obnoxious Elon, Spaceballs, you know, like let's name a whole trim level after a Spaceballs reference because everyone gets that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like the thought of a Tesla robot serving up burgers. Yeah. I don't like the Star Trek playing outside. I don't like how weird it looks, all steel.
Yeah.
And I don't like the Waymos driving around in front of it. It gives a very like post-apocalyptic sci-fi-esque vibe that I don't think I want the world to go to that.
Well, the robots, I mean, I feel like they could find a better job for the robots. Like if the food is cold, like put a little heater in its stomach and then you like...
Eyes. Yes. And they could laser them hot. And
oh, that's true.
That's at least the show also.
Nothing could go wrong.
Like the tongue comes out and there's... sorry. The tongue comes out and the burger's on it. And now that's like really fresh.
So it also says that... So wait times have been insanely long and people who own Teslas and order from their cars are prioritized.
I knew that was coming.
So
I knew that was...
Is that... Do you know if that's like on there? It's like a software download that you can order from your car? From the screen. Yeah.
I think it's dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about, we heard the food's not great. Yeah. Like it's, I don't know. If you're going to open up a themed restaurant for a maligned brand, like you better be on point.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a miss.
Well, you know? Just the fact that like they have so many resources behind, like they built an amazing building, but they couldn't hire local chef to like put together the menu.
They did. Greenspan is the chef.
Alan Greenspan, the old Federal Reserve dude.
The Federal Reserve guy, the Michelin starred chef.
Oh.
But he's using like local LA bakeries for the bread. He's, you know, like there is thought that has gone into this, but it's been the execution, I think, that
yeah. Nearby residents say that traffic at the intersection is practically gridlocked from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Whoa.
And that the noise and smells from the diner are keeping them up at night.
I love the smells from the diner are keeping them up.
I can't sleep because it smells like bacon.
No, that's when the scent goes in your nose and the feet flap like that and they float over to Tesla. To
like
eat.
When Drake smells a pie on the counter of someone's house cooling.
Mm-hmm.
Well. You know? You don't remember those memes? It's like Drake, the kind of guy who like when he's sleeping, he goes, haunt you.
me.
And finally, the movie screen has totally obstructed views of a nearby apartment building. That would be infuriating to me.
Yeah.
If you're just like, bro, I've seen this Star Trek episode a million times today. Stop. No one's going to a diner to watch Star Trek. Please stop.
So wait, by noises, do they mean like, is it playing out loud or do you like an actual drive-in where you
They should be able to, if it's all the same car, make some weird like Sirius XM account where it plays the Star Trek audio or whatever they're playing on the screen, have it come through your Tesla. Mm-hmm. Instead of having speakers outside.
Well, it's probably also just the noise of people there until 1 a.m. Yeah.
This burger sucks. Just that for 24 hours a day.
Why isn't this hot?
Yeah. On a serious note, Bonneville legend Chris Rashke tragically passed away on Sunday at 60 years old during a run at this year's Bonneville Speed Week. His car lost control, nearing 300 miles per hour at the 2.5-mile marker. Chris was a part of the Speed Demon team, which holds the current Bonneville speed record of 470 miles per hour. Rest in peace, Chris. He was a huge part of the community. He has been doing this for a long time. Apparently, very nice. I've never met him before, but...
A mentor to many.
Mentor to many. Mm-hmm. Well-respected in the community and just a good voice for the community as well. You will be sorely missed, Chris. Keep his dream alive through Speed Demons records and stuff like that. Nolan is currently at Bonneville right now, which is why he's not here. Apparently, I just texted, I texted him last night and everyone's just super sad.
Yeah.
We don't want to end on a horrible note, but this happens from time to time. It's like a very dangerous hobby and line of work. And it's just an inherent risk that you understand as a driver doing this kind of stuff.
Doesn't make it any less.
No, doesn't make it any less sad. And our hearts go out to Rashke's family and anyone else on his team.
RIP, big dog.
And that is our show for the week. Thanks for listening. Follow us at Donut Podcasts and our personal accounts. I'm at Joji Weber. Steph is at Radical_Steph. And Bart is at BidsBardo. Check out our other show, Past Gas. We just hit 300 episodes. And this week we talked about the Great Train Robbery, which is
pretty sick.
Pretty sick. An unlikely car story, but a car story nonetheless. And we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Bye.